Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking and Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. West Ham United. More than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 7, episode 32. Where does the time go, George?
I don't know. Hello. Where does it
clockwise
go?
Welcome back, George. Where are you? What are you doing?
I am at home, and I am in my living room.
Good. And also back, like he never goes away, is Shipman. Where are you? What are you up to this evening?
I'm in my shed, talking to you lot.
I'm in my shed.
I'm almost got that off to a T, but I sort of, there's a slight delay. In the editing, it will come out fine. We had a football game after 3 weeks, chaps, didn't we?
We did.
Did we?
Well.
You didn't.
Nigel couldn't be bothered to turn up. In fact, I'm sure he made a statement, George, to us, saying after the Burnley game, he was never going to go to West Ham again. Now, I don't know if it was one of those rash things. What did he actually say, George? Can you remember?
I can't remember. I was surprised that he wasn't there, to be honest. And then you reminded me that he made that statement. And I don't remember him making that statement.
Let's find out from Nigel. Nigel, what did you actually say after the Burnley game?
I said it before the Burnley game. I said, Burnley's my last. I ain't coming back this season.
Oh, this season?
Yes.
Okay. So you won't be there at Stoke?
Well, I will be.
lasted long.
Well, perhaps.
U-turn. Yeah. U-turn night. Yeah,
well, it is. And there's a reason.
Fickle fan.
I'm addicted.
Snowflake.
To West Ham. I can't stay away. Oh. I sat there and I hated Saturday because I wasn't there. And I don't know how people give it up, because this was like a tester. Could I actually do it? Can I break the habit? And like the smackhead after his fix, you know? Who's tried methadone and thought, you know what, actually, I don't fancy that. I'll go back to the right stuff. So I'm going to come back with my towel between my legs against Stoke and... Yeah.
So you didn't go to the static march, you didn't go to the ramble, and you didn't go to the WISA committee meeting, that means, also.
No, didn't do anything. Sat in my shed and watched the football.
Oh. Well, let's start with you.
Thanks.
Then. Let's have an armchair view from the shed of the game.
It's Chelsea, isn't it?
Well... It's not a Chelsea podcast. We are gonna get Nigel's view from his shed. West Ham versus Southampton, and just a clue here: we won 3-0.
Yeah, I did notice that. Personally, West Ham did what they needed to do. They got the first goal. Southampton buckled, but we beat a team that never had a shot in anger, that never tested us. That never looked like getting through us. Now, you could say that's because we played really well, but for me, they're the poorest team I've seen this season at the, well, I didn't see it, but that's the poorest team that I've seen because I watched the whole game just on telly. They were diabolical. They were worse than West Brom, honestly.
That's
no,
true.
So it's hard to say whether this is a big turnaround, that they've sorted it out. Let's see the performance, not so much the result. Let's see what the performance is against Chelsea. So,
well, you're saying they flattered us, I think you're saying.
Yeah, I think you've got to take in... You couldn't have played a better team at that time. I mean, if we were playing Chelsea off the back of Burnley, it could have been bother again. But
would it surprise you? Would it surprise you, Nigel and George, that... Oh, by the way, we mentioned John's not here. He's having a perm tonight, so he couldn't quite make it because the perm rollers had not quite come out. So apologies from John. He's not on the podcast tonight. Sorry, I should have done the housekeeping earlier. Would it surprise you, Nigel and George, that the statistics say that Southampton had more possession, 52% to our 48. They had 9 shots to our 12. But key, we had 5 shots on target, they had 0. Would that surprise you?
I'm not sure it would surprise me because I thought the second half was very poor from us. I thought we failed to capitalise on their our strong first half performance and their poor first half performance. I thought we should have carried on going. Not to mention I had a pound at 100-1 on Arnautovic to get a hat trick. So.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? You were urging him. You were willing him on, and when he got pulled off, who pulled him off? Who pulled him off?
David Moyes, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but who replaced him?
Dirty old man.
it was. Hugill?
Hugill? Yeah, it probably was Hugill.
Is it Hugill?
He's an orphan, isn't he?
Hugill, I think.
So, I don't know if it would surprise me, to be honest. I guess the amount of shots they had maybe surprised me a little bit. I don't remember them having that many chances on our goal. But
that surprised me.
But possession-wise, I thought, given the second half, it doesn't surprise me, if I'm honest.
So let's talk about players. You were there. First of all, did you manage to get past all the barriers, stopping free flow, the extra police, the stewards with their safety glasses on and their football boots, and the extra...
The football boots really made me laugh. And every single steward that I could see was wearing a really nice pair of football boots. So they were obviously gifted them by the club as well, I'd imagine, unless you know different, Sean.
No, I don't know that. I'm sure they were just asked to bring their own football boots.
Well, this is where I disagree with that, because why would, you know, some of those stewards are clearly not football players.
They probably borrowed them from people. I've got a job, but I need, it's an extra pound an hour, but I need a pair of football boots and some plastic safety glasses.
But they were all nice boots, so I'm assuming that the club gifted them or they were spares.
I get the boots right, stay upright. What was the safety glasses thing?
I don't know, in case
we had any shots in the ice.
Someone put a sharp stick. No, I thought it was in case a corner flag went in their eye.
Yeah, it could be.
Hilarious.
But no, I didn't attempt to make it on the pitch, and I didn't attempt to make it over to the director's area. So,
do you remember the wager we had? I asked you how much money for you to get on the pitch, and what did you say?
I said I'd never do that. It's stupid.
You said, give me a oneer in cash up front and I'll do it. It's what you actually said.
You didn't give me the money though, did you?
I didn't, no.
I'd have took it.
What, for 100 quid?
Yeah, I'd have ran the other way out. I'd have took your money and run off.
So let's talk players. As you say, the result flattered us a bit. You know, after losing by at least 3 goals for the last 3 games, well, that's the way I remember it, to beat another team 3-0 just shows how poor they are, especially as they had a rogue result against Chelsea, but I think they'd had some batterings as well. Who stood out for you, George?
Obviously, Arnautovic. I thought, you know, he seemed up for it from the very beginning. I think, obviously, the Hughes history played a part in that.
He denied that. He said, I haven't got a problem with him. But he did seem to point.
He definitely was addressing Mark Hughes when he scored his first goal.
And he said something at half-time, apparently, but Hughes said he didn't hear it.
Actually, I thought, whilst we're on that subject, I thought Hughes dealt with that very well in his post-match interview.
Yeah, yeah.
For those that didn't hear it, he said, I wasn't aware of anything Arnautovic done, and he played very well today, like he did for me when he spent 4 years with me at Stoke. It's a very professional and grown-up way. But who else stood up for me? Declan Rice, for sure. I was very impressed with him.
Amazing.
I remember when we scored our first goal, I noticed they were celebrating in front of us, and I noticed him celebrating the goal, but then turning around to every single player and pointing to their brains, as in, like, focus, don't get carried away, which I thought for a 19-year-old, or 18-year-old, however old he is.
19.
That he... That impressed me. And then he backed that up with a strong performance throughout the game. And I thought he was definitely one of, he was probably my man of the match.
How about you, Nigel?
I'd like to say I thought Joe Hart dealt with the 9 shots that were off target really well. I think the way he let some of them go, it's going wide, let it go. Yeah, that's it. And it showed his positional play was excellent.
I was hoping, and I was trying to gift you this, you were going to talk about Fernandes.
Yeah. Yeah, he played well, didn't he, when he came on?
He had a really good game. Yeah.
I agree.
Well, it's about time. I mean, we keep hearing how good he's supposed to be, but he doesn't really show it.
You say that. He was bought for the academy. We paid 5 million quid, which is nothing in today's terms. And it was for West Ham, the money we spend. Well, we were told he was one for the academy, and he went straight into the academy, so we didn't have any high expectations maybe we had of other players. So I think he's done quite well, considering the way that he was portrayed when we bought him. And I thought he had a terrific game.
Well, the thing when you buy players like that is you have to give them time to bed in at the Premier League. We're lucky with Arnautovic because he already did that at Stoke.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, a majority of players that we're buying from abroad need a bedding in period. Now, the problem you get is a lot of them aren't afforded that luxury. When they're bought for the first team rather than the first team squad, they're expected by fans and everybody else to perform straight away. I think that's where players like Zaza felt the pressure, Gökhan Tor, you know, Zaza looked like ordinary, didn't he? If he was wine, he'd be like table wine, isn't it? You know, like mouthwash. Yet everywhere else, he's banged in goals. So you got to think, well, did we give him enough time? Did we afford him enough time? I'm not sure. But with a player like Fernandes, he's had that time, hasn't he, to bed in. Even playing, as you say, the under-23 football allows him to bed in, and there's less pressure on him. So,
George, big loss with Antonio for the rest of the season, or would he never really fit again, as some are saying?
Well, obviously we know that if he's playing as well as he can do, he's a big loss. But we have been without him for quite some time. And, you know, I'd probably agree that he probably wasn't fully fit. He hasn't looked fully fit for a while, worryingly. We noticed even when he was out for a while that he used to get tired very quickly and he wasn't having the best of games he's had for us. I personally thought his reaction of his season being over was probably something to do with his international ambitions, because, you know, if he had a strong last 6 games, he could be in for a shout of being on the plane to Russia, but that's all over for him as well.
You're referring to the way he cried like a baby.
I am, yes. So you feel for any professional when they're injured in that way. But I think I doubt he was really that bothered about missing the rest of the season from a West Ham point of view. The cynic in me is telling me. Mm-hmm.
Any other players stood out on Saturday?
Not that I want to particularly mention. I think that everyone played well. Everyone put in a good shift, and that
including the 12 man minus Nigel, who was in his shed because they couldn't hear him. But you know, there just to say, you know, despite the extra security and the barriers and everything else, and I know it helped with an early goal, the atmosphere was pretty good. You know, I'm gonna not call it amazing, but it was, the atmosphere was pretty damn good, wasn't it?
It was. It was. I mean, it could have been better, and I think the second half they kept us quiet, and we didn't offer much in the second half, which disappointed me. But
it couldn't be described as toxic, could it?
No, not at all. And I was going to say, you know, you compare it to the Burnley game and the atmosphere there. That, you know, it's a whole different ball game, wasn't it?
It was, and one we lost 3-0. So let me ask both of you a question before we move on. Is that it? Are we safe now? We're not going to get relegated? Nigel first.
I don't think we will go, Dan. So they've got Southampton. Let's look at Southampton. Gonna got to get 5 more points than we get. Stoke have got to get, well, if you take goal difference in, they've got to get 6 and 7 points more than we get. I reckon we're only going to get about another 4. Therefore, Stoke and Southampton have got to get 10, 11 points. They ain't going to do that.
I think
35 will keep you up. I'll be surprised if Southampton gets 7 points. So,
I think you're right. They're playing a lot of big teams as well, aren't they?
Their running's not fantastic. You know, psychologically, we play the last game next Saturday against Chelsea away. So that's the last game, Premier League game of the weekend. But I think Saints have got Arsenal away.
They're going to get
nothing. I think Stoke have got Tottenham at home. So, you know, that might set us up. If you see them have already looked playing last next weekend, might do us a favour.
They didn't have any spirit. They had no spunk in them at all, I didn't think.
Well, perhaps they all got pulled off before the game then.
Yeah, as you say, they are playing this weekend on Sunday, the early kickoff. They are playing Arsenal at home. At the Emirates. So, and they've got Chelsea after that, 12:30 kickoff, the Saturday after that. Then they've got Leicester away. Then they've got Chelsea at home in the FA Cup final.
Semi-final.
Then they've got Bournemouth at home. That's winnable. And then they've got Everton away. So, quite tricky.
Stoke's the next big game for us.
And one last one. And the last one, their last game of the season, is Man City at home.
I think they are three that are down there are the three that will go. Having seen Southampton now, I can't see how Hughes can, you know, the first game bounce or whatever. I mean, we suffered our first game under Moyes, to be fair, performance like that. Perhaps they can turn it around.
And you're right. I'm just going to quickly say Stoke play Spurs this Saturday, then West Ham on Monday, then Burnley at home, then Liverpool away, tricky one, then Crystal Palace at home, Swansea City away, and their last game, Swansea City away. So they maybe got a few easier ones, but
they've got 6 games, I think, Stoke left, and they've got to win, 3-4 of them to get past us. Ain't going to happen.
Ain't going to happen. Do you not disagree with that, George, at all, and say we won't get relegated, or we will get relegated, do you?
No, I've got nothing to add to that conversation. I agree with it all, to be honest. I think the three that are down at the minute will be the ones that go. I was very surprised at how poor Southampton were.
Right. So, that's it. We won a game. We're on 33 points. The other thing was, and Nigel, you missed this, the two protests weren't... I use the word dwindled. So, the Ramble, as it was called, which was organised by readers on KUMB, not KUMB, I must stress, because Graham gets quite upset about it. It was certain readers on KUMB. I was told by the police about 50 turned up for that. For the static demonstration, which, by the way, was outside the director's entrance, that's what was released on social media, police told me 200, although the people themselves say between 400 and 1,000. I think it's probably more closer to 400 from the videos I've seen. WISA voted not to have a march, but they are going to have some other action, which has not been decided. But
how do you know that? How do you know they voted not to have a march?
Because I spoke to some of the committee members.
Oh, they haven't sent an email out then to their members.
Oh. Oh. Oops.
Dear.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Not very democratic.
So my question to you, both of you, is that it from protests for the rest of this season? When will it pick up? What form will it pick up? You know, it does feel like the Judean People's Front at times. Let's start with you first, George, this time.
Do I think there should be any more protests?
Yeah, or will there be, or what form that might take?
I'm sure people will try and arrange more, but for me, and I think we talked about this on Saturday, Sean, I think that...
You're all bored of it.
Well, yeah. we are. There's too many committees, there's too many splinter groups, there's too many all sorts of things. It all gets a bit stupid. But I do think...
We did laugh, didn't we? We have to share that joke in a minute.
I think that, you know, what happened at the Burnley game, the non-violent side of things was the things that needed to happen. The message got put across, the press started talking about it. Everyone knows we're not fans of the board. Everyone knows the unhappiness amongst the fans. So it's a bit like it's been done now, and, you know, what else can we do? What else will have an effect?
Yeah. Well, we were at the supporters club on the Saturday, and someone got up to talk, and we made a bit of a joke because there's a new committee at the supporters club to try and save the club, while the old committee held the beer to ransom on Saturday by changing the locks at Castle Street. And so we were making a joke that we, me, John, George, and Dave, who was with us, needed to form our own committee because there weren't enough committees at West Ham. And what were we going to call it, George? Do you remember?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
I don't remember. That was before before we had beers.
It's not more than just a committee.
Excellent. Right, you get the... Before we go to Facebook, Twitter question time and a plug for Canning Town Len, the new musical, which I know you're involved in, Nigel. Well, what do you think? How will the next form of protest take, either this season or into the summer?
I hope there is another protest. I'd like to see a big protest at the end of the season, maybe not the Everton game, perhaps the Man United game, because I think we'll be safe by then. So
okay,
I'd like to see Everton game. I'd like to have a party that it's the end of the season, to be fair. Yeah. So So I would like to see. Yeah, I'd like to see.
Understandable.
That's later, isn't it?
We were doing all of that. We kept on saying that.
Yeah.
Sweets.
I'm interested to see what WISA do with their. I don't know what they've done.
WISA or WISA?
WISA, I call it. And since
WISA,
I helped form it, it'll be called WISA.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I help.
Actually, Sean, yeah, you helped form it as well.
I was a joint chair.
I know. Let's have a poll on what is how you pronounce it.
Yeah. Let's have a committee meeting. Let's...
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of... The thing with West Ham fans I found is there's a lot of apathy. They seem to, and it's okay when it's spontaneous, but organised things, as you can see, it's descended into this group, that group, and okey-cokey group. And it is getting a bit... I mean, I thought you was harsh in your article where you put dwindle, to be fair, and you put 200, because I only watched a video of it from outside, and I watched them march.
I was told that by the police. I was told that directly by Andy Sheldon, and the police officer.
Because they look to be double that 200 to me.
Okay, fair one. That's why I put in the story that people on the march said between 400 and 1,000, which I thought was fair, but that's what I was told by Andy Sheldon when
I'd like to know if anyone made all three. Did someone actually manage to make the whistle meet in the ramp?
There you go. Answers on the post coming. Anyway, we've got to move on. Quick plug for your mate Ken in Town, Len, and his musical before we move on to Facebook question time.
Oh, all right, yeah. Go watch it.
Understandable. We were saying that, by
the
way.
It's called Pure Gold. Everyone's probably seen it by now. If they've not, why not? That's what I want to know. Yeah.
We kept on saying the Jim White understandable all day, did we not, George?
We did.
It was funny at the time. It probably comes across less funny over the podcast.
I mean, for me, Razzle Dazzle is the king of the songs. I've never been so honoured to play a Millwall fan in my life, even though when I supplied the voice, they never told me it was going to be a Millwall fan.
And you say Olas.
I do say Olas, and I also, I believe I sing... If you can call it singing in some of the choruses, but luckily they put other people's voices in as well, so you can't hear me going.
Well, I've got a little cameo appearance, even though they don't know it.
Yeah.
On 17:40, I'm
it's
in the.
It's always about you, Sean.
Oh, no, you were so happy, weren't you? You were so happy.
Yeah, I was. I was. So I didn't. I'm sure they didn't know, but I mean, it zooms in just where I am in front of the box at the Burnley game. But of course, I wasn't there. Only as a journalist. Journalist. Anyway, it's time for this.
Lawyer.
Yes, it's Facebook, Twitter question time.
Time.
And George, hopefully you've got them up because I haven't.
I do. So, Sean, you put on the podcast page earlier, podcasting at 6:45 p.m. tonight. Well, that's a lie. Please send in your view of the Southampton win, the R word, and your hopes for the remainder of the season. We've got quite a few. Sean Gallagher says, the team stepped up and so did the crowd. We all need each other at the moment. Two more wins and I reckon we'll be safe. Then we can put this season behind us and move on. Well, he thinks two more wins. Nick Harvey says, good performance, albeit Southampton weren't great. Begs the question as to why we've been so poor on so many occasions. Will 37 points be enough to keep us up? As can't see us getting any more than that. I think we discussed that earlier. That was more than enough. Also, new medical team. Yeah, injuries are still a major issue for us. Are we still rushing players back? Interesting.
Yeah.
Have we got Russian players? I ain't seen any Russian players.
And he says, can anyone take the hammer of the year away from Arnautovic? The only one in the shout could be Pablo. But I think Arnautovic will get it.
No, we did a Clarence Hugh poll. And Arnautovic, it was about 1,500 people, and it was like 60% of the vote went to Arnautovic and about 10% went to Zabaleta, followed by Noble, by the way. So there you go. It's going to be Arnautovic all the way.
Mm. Ricky Gaylis says, with the way things are going for Stoke, Southampton, Huddersfield, as well as... Oh, lost my train of thought. As well as the way things have already gone for West Brom, I can see 4 points being enough. Chris Hitchcock says, just a massive relief that everyone pulled together and we not only got the result, but some positivity back. Not out of the fire yet, but more of the same over the coming weeks and we'll be okay. Then we can talk transfers, board future with EPL secured. Paul Harris says, who will be our keepers next season? Even if he now keeps the gloves until the end of the season, Hart has not been a success and Adrian rightly appears unhappy to remain as a backup. Who could we look to sign? He suggests Pope or Heaton from Burnley. I think Pope would be a great signing.
Butland.
Yeah, Stoke go. Keith Rees says, should we be worried that Barry Fry was sitting with David Gold wearing a West Ham tie? They wouldn't, couldn't, no. Surely not.
No, I can guarantee. I've spoken to Barry Fry a number of times. I can guarantee you, Barry Fry is mates with Gold and with Sullivan, but mates with Gold more. He's a big West Ham fan in his spare time, and he probably got a free tie. But Barry will not be becoming a director of football. I can promise you that.
Who's a big West Ham fan?
Barry. Go, he likes coming away to watch West Ham.
Yeah, because he gets he in does, nothing and his mates own the club. When has he ever been West Ham before them two?
Oh, he's not a West Ham through and through. He likes, all right, so right what then. I should say is he likes to come and watch West Ham for free in the director's
so
box.
He likes any club that David Gold's at, basically, because this is his mate.
Yeah. All right.
Get that tie off. Well, that's why he's had one big enough.
Paul Sanders says, great win on Saturday and more to the point, a decent atmosphere for the first time in ages, a good day out. My mate Neil and I bumped into the Huisa guys at the White Post Cafe before the game. And I'm now the owner of a rather fetching blue pin with crossed hammers, as are we.
We are, yeah. Well, not Nigel, because he wasn't there. Fickle fan.
I've got one.
Have you got one?
He set it up, Sean.
Oh, yeah, he was one of the founders.
Will the result on the 5-point gap now mean a temporary end to at-game protests?
I would hope so. I would really hope so. I know Nigel wants some protest. Do you know what? I agreed in the past with the protest at Man City, which is don't turn up, which is pretty much what...
I did that Saturday and I don't recommend it.
It was a two-man protest, yeah?
Oh.
Anyway.
Ed Hughes says, can Mark Hughes manage all our opponents, play out that every week and we'll be safe? Taffy
nice.
Wallback says, just happy there wasn't a West Ham way performance. Chris Hooper says, Rice was fantastic Saturday. Does that mean it's the end of the road for Collins?
I think he will be gone in the summer. I can't see him getting an extension.
Gary Prince says, we need two more wins. Where do you see us getting them? Well, I don't think we particularly do, but I'd imagine Stoke and Everton.
I think we can beat Stoke. I'd love to beat Everton. Here's your ruddy bubbles.
And Matthew Kemp.
If you do a remember, if you do a favour for Big Sam, he'd do one for you.
Sounds just like it. Matthew Kemp says, Arnie's on fire. Where was Hernandez, injured or AWOL? Good question. Where was Hernandez, Sean?
Injured, apparently. Little knock, but he will be fit again.
I think he's known as the little
for Chelsea. Yeah. Yeah. yeah, was lost.
Any of you thinks lost on you, go on, quack on.
Over onto Twitter, or Nigel, have you got Twitter up? You usually do Twitter. Oh, Sean, you're well on the ball today.
I know.
Nigel, have you got Twitter? Or do you want me
hold
to
up,
carry
up. Hold up. Here we go. Twitter. Loading. Hurry up. Come on, ball, Ben. Here we go. Oh, I've just got to change it from me.
If you haven't seen, by the way, Pure Gold the musical, we will, it's already up on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast. More with two O's. And forget about all the privacy and everything else stuff.
Right, you ready?
Because we don't steal your data.
Yeah. What's someone like called that in the business, Sean? Filling, isn't it?
It was a filling.
Well,
yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
So here we go. Peter Edgecombe at Peter Dubai. I suspect he's a Dubai hammer. Would love to know your predictions on and off the field for next season, assuming we are still in the Premiership.
Relegation.
I reckon more of the same.
But, yeah, me too. Skinny.
No, I think they will spend, they'll have a budget of like £85 million. They're going to get the next Vardy. They're going to probably find the next sort of Gareth
next
Bale.
Next Vardy?
And we'll finish like in Champions League place next season.
No, like we'll end up with Reg Vardy from on the buses.
And they'll find a way to move the seats onto the pitch, not just close to the pitch, but onto the pitch for the absolute closest experience, like a foot into the pitch.
I bet they don't.
All right. Well, there you go. That was my thoughts.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's...
Hold up. I ain't finished. You jump in there.
Come on, move on. Move on.
Ben Ashelford, what do we think the main player positions are to be the focus on next year? He's thinking a right back, defensive mid, two strikers, and a centre back. Maybe another winger too.
And a goalkeeper.
How about a goalkeeper? I mean, Adrian apparently wants to go back to Spain or Betis because they want him back there. Joe Hart's going, so we're looking for the fourth choice Man United keeper who's at Villa. I forget his name. So we need a goalkeeper without a doubt, a number one, possibly a number two. And with Ginge going, we need a good, strong centre-back.
And Hernandez will probably go.
And Hernandez, we need a striker. And I think Carroll could really go. With 12 months left, I think if an offer came in for Carroll, I think they'd snap their hands off. Cause,
who's going to go for him, though, really?
Well, maybe a Championship wannabe. Maybe, I don't know, Aston Villa coming up. Maybe he could join Snodgrass.
Are you done? Because I'm still... I ain't finished yet.
Go on.
Tinko 20. The thing that annoys me most about the London Stadium is that after the match, I can't walk directly back to my car, which is parked near Hackney Wick Station, because my route is blocked to allow the away supporters to exit at the same time, unlike most grounds, where they are held back. I don't think they are. I've done six away games this season. I don't think I've ever been held back in one.
Well, you just need to know where to go, because we always, you can go there and back on yourself, can't you? So there's always a way to get out of there. We know.
It's in the wrong side.
His point remains, Sean.
Sorry?
His point does remain. Like,
why
does
it?
His route is
blocked. His route isn't blocked. There's always another way around it.
Like, well, no, the quickest route is.
All right. Did he say that, though? Did he say my route's
blocked?
But
I know what he means.
You're now interpreting questions now,
are you? Well, he does say the stadium may... more like home if the home supporters were given preference over the away supporters. But the facts are, I'm pretty sure, like Arsenal, Chelsea, Shrewsbury, Man United, I've done, we just walked out together. Tottenham, we just walked out together. We never got held back.
Well, they do have those barriers up still, but there is always, you walk there and walk back again. And just to ram the... point home, there's a difference. You know, if you're in a derelict warehouse on Saturday that was on fire, you just want a route out, not the most quickest route out. Either way, you will be saved, George.
Well, not necessarily. What if you suffocate from the smoke and you can't get out quick enough because you're forced to go a longer way?
Good point.
I just want to say to the people that set fire to that warehouse,
yeah,
you did the wrong building, you idiots.
I did. As soon as I saw the picture, I did tag you in there.
What's
went,
going on?
So
I'll tell you. You send boys to do a man's job, and that's what happens.
Yeah. Anyway, one last item. Is there any other Twitter? Tweeting. So one last thing, which is a little interview that Nigel did earlier today. East 15 Films, I spoke to Mitch there and he gave me a free copy to give away on on the on Clarence Hugh in the competition. But you know one of the other guys, I forget his name, and earlier today you did an interview with him. Do you want to just introduce that quickly, Nigel?
David Powles is Mitch's mate. He actually featured in the film Away From Home, which is sort of a similar type of genre to Iron Men. Do you like that? Long word for me, genre.
Yeah.
But this actually goes a bit deeper, not just following the fans, but then after the move and what their perceptions are of the Olympic Stadium and how it panned out and what their thoughts were once they finally got to see the stadium, apart from, well, yeah, even Gary did go and see the stadium, Gary Firmage, who featured it. Yeah. The happiest one out of the lot, funny enough, was probably Gary Firmage. You've seen it, Sean, haven't you? I mean,
I've seen it. Yeah.
When you look at the four or five others that took part, Gary Firmage, who did one or two games and never went back, was the happiest man now.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not spoil it. Let's listen to the interview. And this is Nigel and David.
Due to circumstances beyond our control, we will not be able to bring you Nigel Khan's interview with Dave from East 15 Films. This is because he blathers on for too long and it's about 50 minutes long. So we're bringing you a one-off special later in the week. I bet you can't wait. Thanks.
What did you think of that then, George?
It was really good. I haven't seen the film or the interview, but I'm sure it was brilliant.
Available for $3.99 on Vimeo, yeah. I think, and $4.99 to rent on
Amazon. Soon to come on iTunes. And can I just say that that was really good editing because I've not done the interview yet. I'm doing it after.
All right. Don't give away the magic of the podcast.
So I was hoping George would say something like, yeah, I found that really interesting. And well done.
No, don't give away the... Anyway, predictions. We play Chelsea away. Are you going, Nigel?
No, because my son's having his operation this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Good luck for that.
Thank you.
So let's give us a full forecast.
Lose 4-0.
Jesus. George, well, you're going.
We are going, aren't we? We're either going one way or the other. We're either going to get smashed or we're going to nick a win. I don't think we'll play particularly well, but I don't think they will either. So I think they're under a lot of pressure, especially after the result of the weekend. I think Conte's days there are numbered, and I think our good performance at the weekend could spur us on to nick a little 1-0 victory.
Well, I never bet for my team to lose, but you've nicked the 1-0. So I'm going to go for... He deploys a false nine. I don't think he's going to put out any strikers, so I don't think he's going to put out... he'd probably rest an Arnautovic even, maybe. It would just be 11 defenders.
I hope he does.
False nine, and I'll go for a 0-0 board draw, which will be another valuable point. So that's it. It's goodbye from me, Sean, and it's goodbye from the Shed Man.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from George.
Goodbye.
Hold up. Don't forget my new show on Hammers Chat Forum, Retro Hammers, where I take a look every week at a different period of West Ham's glorious history. Even though this week it's 1970, which turned out not to be so glorious. But anyway, it is what it is.
Good. Do you think John's perm is set by now?
Well, he's gone proper retro. Is it a Kevin Keegan perm? Is he going for?
It's a bit like that. We'll put a picture on Facebook as soon as it comes out. Anyway, that's good from us. We'll see you next week. Anyway, that's it from this week. Goodbye. Come on, you Irons.
Nice bit of filling.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.